The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
CSPN and the WrestleCast present to you Cast of Strong Style with your hosts, JPK Moto and Don DeLaRente.
Hello. And welcome to episode 15 of Cast of Strong Style. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by the Omega herself, Miss JPK Moto. What's going on, Moto?
Hey, Don, how are you?
I'm good. Glad that you could join me once again for this follow-up episode on Wrestle Kingdom and New Year's Dash.
Of course. I'm excited. I'm always excited, but this is like Christmas for me. It's very, very pleased with everything, and I just can't wait to get into it.
All right. Just a reminder that Cast of Strong Style is brought to you by CSPN. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also find us, the podcast, that is, on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio. We can also be downloaded and subscribed to by any podcast app for Android or iPhone. So, like I said, January 4th, this past Thursday, 1 week ago as you record this, it all went down from the Tokyo Dome as Wrestle Kingdom 12, the long-awaited event, finally arrived. A lot of people were very interested in this. A lot of people got their first taste of New Japan Pro Wrestling thanks to Chris Jericho Wrestling, Kenny Omega, and the co-main event. So first, they got to see if they started at 2:30, like our live Twitter extraordinaire Moto did, they got to see the New Japan Rumble. Mm-hmm. So Moto, give me some things that stood out to you about the New Japan Rumble.
The New Japan Rumble, very fun starter to everything. Of course, the King of Beef, Katsuya Kitamura, came in, lasting several minutes in the match, doing his poses, roaring like he does. I'm always happy about that. Chase Owens was in there. I am getting to like him a lot more. Cheeseburger, my fave, came in there. That was one of the big things for me to see Cheeseburger. And the final entrant, Masahiro Kakihara, was a shock to everybody, who was actually an ex-New Japan wrestler. And the final was between he and Cheeseburger, which shocked many. And, well, you can do your thing about how that ended.
Kakihara pinned Cheeseburger because in the New Japan Rumble, it is pin, submission, or over the top rope for elimination. So Cheeseburger gets eliminated by pin and the upset win by Kakihara.
And I just wanted to say he is a cancer survivor. So it was a very heartwarming win for him. And he does get a title shot. So I wonder how this will fare down the stretch as we move along in the new year.
All right. That'll be something interesting to watch. So now we move on to Wrestle Kingdom proper as we get our first title match of the evening, Roppongi 3K, Sho and Yo with Rocky Romero versus the Young Bucks for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. Mick hits a super kick, sending Yo to the floor, and follows up with a corkscrew dive to wipe out Sho. It's down to Matt and Yo. Yo fires up, but eats a super kick. Then the Meltzer driver connects. Nick locks in the sharpshooter for the win, and the Young Bucks are your new junior heavyweight tag team champions. Moto, an upset, because I know that you thought that Roppongi 3K were going to continue on with their championship run. But no, the Young Bucks, working on the back and the legs, defeat Roppongi 3K.
Did it feel good for you to say that? Did that really? Because I heard that.
Oh, now you don't want me to be taking score. I will be doing the Barry Horowitz, patting myself on the back later, but we haven't gotten there yet.
Please. Anyway, this is now the seventh title that the Young Bucks have. This match was really, really good. Matt started off, you know, talking greasy, calling them young boys, you know, as he's been doing. After some back and forth, they smartly take out Rocky Romero with a running powerbomb on the ramp. That was brutal. And, you know, in wrestling, when you go from wrestler to manager, your constitution, your vitality, all them stats just go way down. So one move like that would just take you out. back after this was like Battle of the Backs. Yo, who, if you don't know yet, he's the one who wears silver and has the blue hair. He gets apron bombed, so they're just like working on the back. Matt Jackson missed a move and actually fell flat on his back as well. So now you have both teams having one member who have back problems. So now it evolves into a back and forth. Anything you can do, I can do better. There was a great moment where Nick super kicked Sho, and then Yo to go out to the rope. Yo bounces back, hits Nick with the super kick, and then Sho hits Nick with the backstabber, and then does a drop kick. After that, Nick counted out of the finisher, and then hit Sho with the spinning drop kick. Just things like that were all through the match, and I have to say, it's actually Sho who was like, you know, kind of like the Ricky Morton, just waiting for the hot tag there. And he did really well in that. I love this match. Roppongi 3K are going to win it back as far as I'm concerned. Congratulations to the Young Bucks. Great, great match.
Yeah, a very good way to start the actual Wrestle Kingdom. I think a lot of people have heard so much about the Young Bucks and all the crazy moves. And, you know, maybe to their dismay, not so many high spots as they actually, you know, did a lot, like you said, a lot of storytelling with the back injuries. And then, you know, the Young Bucks are now, you know, submission specialists as they're also trying to work legs as well. So, yeah, just a really good opening match. And, you know, Young Bucks back in Japan, back with the gold. Next up, we have the never openweight six-man title gauntlet match. So, Moto's favorite, Taichi, out with Azuka and my man, Zack Sabre Jr., and they started out against Hanson Rowe, which is War Machine, and Michael Elgin. Hanson tags in, slams Azuka, and heads up top, but the moonsault misses. We get a penalty kick by Zack Sabre, but Rowe hits him with a knee strike. Thor's hammer follows on Taichi, who pulls the ref to the floor. Suzuki Gun attacks. Zack Sabre Jr. locks in a triangle on Raymond Rowe. The ref calls for the bell. When Raymond Rowe passes out, Elgin and War Machine are eliminated. Moto, your first thoughts on this first little dust-up between Suzuki Gun, and War Machine and Elgin?
I liked in the beginning, there was a nice show of strength with Elgin lifting Azuka up and using one of his arms to single crowd to cheer before doing the side slam. Rowe also handled, I'm not going to call him Zack Sabre Jr. anymore. I'm going to call him Dr. Twist because he just likes to twist everybody up and makes them tap. So Dr. Twist was manhandled by Rowe. Hanson going up to the top rope. He did, you know, and Hanson's a big dude, over 300 pounds. Did a nice smooth moonsault. I like that too, but missed. So those were the nice moments of this nice little portion of the match here.
All right. Next up, we have Trent Beretta, Yanu, and Ishii. They come down as they're the next team into the gauntlet match. Suzuki Gun attacks them during their entrance. Taichi uses the bell hammer, and Taichi works over Yanu. But Trent makes the save. Yanu hits the low blow and pins Taichi. Now, Yanu, Amoto, I want to know, how did you start a Taichi go home chant all the way from your living room?
First of all, you call me Yanu, Lil Orf Annie.
Sorry, I was dyslexic in my speaking. Sorry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. Well, now that we've got that addressed, I did not have to start one, thankfully, because most people who are smart, you know, on the timeline, just started it before me. Go home. He is. Why are you getting me started? Why do you want to get me started? This man is full of gimmicks. He's not that great. All he does is just use props improperly to attack people. And I'm just triggered right now. And can we just move on? Because I can't stand that man.
I personally don't see anything wrong with Taichi. I mean, I like when he wrestles and he comes down, he does the full entrance with the singing, and then he rips off the breakaway pants. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with the guy. I don't know why everybody gives him such a hard time.
Wow.
But moving on.
No. I'm just going to say this. This is why I'm the genius and you're not. Just saying. You don't see it. You should.
Okay. Well, Taguchi, Juice Robinson, and Makabe, they roll in next. They hit the ring and a big brawl breaks out. Juice Robinson hits a big planche to the floor. But Taguchi gets rolled up by Anu. And, of course, Taguchi, Juice, and Makabe are now eliminated as well. So now it's time for the champions. Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa enter the fray. Trent tags in, but Fale cuts him off. Tonga tags back in. Tonga and Loa look for double teams. Trent fights them off until he gets caught by Guerrilla Warfare. Tonga and Loa follow up with double teams on Trent instead of going for the pin. Trent fights off Tama Tonga. Then Tonga Loa attacks him and follows Trent up top. Trent knocks him to the mat, and Trent moonsaults and gets caught into a gun stun by Tama Tonga. Yano makes the save on the pinfall, and Ishii tags back in, but Fale takes him out. Tama Tonga is set. Tama stalks Trent, but the gun stun is countered by Trent, who hits the Dude Buster and pins Tama Tonga, and we have new Never Open Weight six-man tag team champions.
Woot woot. I was very surprised because I didn't see this coming. This Beretta, Ishii, and Yano winning. And again, Yano wins at Wrestle Kingdom. It's good that Beretta got the pin because remember, he is in the heavyweight division now. I think this is good for his momentum to move forward. I like that he's the one who did it. He's usually the one who ends up, you know, dead on the outside because he does some crazy bump. So good for him. Overall, solid match.
I knew the titles were going to change. I just predicted the wrong team. I thought Team Taguchi was going to win. But, you know, Beretta deserves, you know, he's put in a lot of work and he's done a lot of good things in the past year. So, you know, it's good to let him get a title of some sort in the heavyweight division for his first time. Mm-hmm. So we have our special, what was it called? A special handsome match?
Yes, it was a handsome match.
All right. As we have Cody with Brandi Rhodes versus Kota Ibushi. Kota teases a powerbomb on the apron, but he lays in kicks. Cody then counters and hits a crossroads off of the apron onto the floor. Cody misses the disaster kick, and Ibushi cuts him off and hits a straitjacket German suplex for a great nearfall. Ibushi kills Cody with the knee strike and heads up top, hitting the Phoenix Splash, and Kota Ibushi gets the win over Cody with Brandi Rhodes.
So before I start, so who predicted last episode that Kota Ibushi was going to win this?
Yeah, you might have got one right.
I might have. I did. Just saying. So going into the match, this is a lot of people said this is arguably one of Cody's best matches. I'd have to agree. It's one of them. I noticed that Cody and Brandi really drummed up the heel antics, which I loved. A good moment was when Cody and Brandi are outside. Kota decides to flip over the ropes. The move hits Brandi. She's like knocked out, KO. And Kota is like, oh my gosh, and picks her up. And she's just knocked out. Kota takes advantage. I'm telling you, he just knocked the hell out of Kota. Like, he got knocked the F out. Then Cody checks on Brandi and they just laugh together, just maniacally. And I can't even be mad. The crowd was mad and they were like, oh, but I loved it. I also love seeing Cody's disaster kick when he had it. It was smooth. And then after that, Cody hit that beautiful golden triangle. And I have to note that one moment that made me just like go, oh, I cringed, was when Kota Ibushi took a crossroads off the apron to the floor. Like, that, like, whew, looked like he broke his neck taking that. It's crazy. He's insane. Great match. Better than expected, I think. I think a lot of people thought this was going to be a dud on the card or just kind of skippable. This was an enjoyable match.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes did a lot of, like you said, good heel work. I think incorporating Brandi definitely helped him out a lot. I think she could be for him what Maryse was for The Miz, just kind of take him to that next level.
Yes.
Like you say, they can work their little dastardly stuff outside of the ring. And of course, in Japan, they have a, you know, they don't really do the valets like that. So, you know, there's a lot more sympathy and empathy for Brandi. So people don't really want to try to hurt her, even though she may be interfering, you know. So it's kind of a little bit different than, you know, American style wrestling, where she would probably eventually get her comeuppance from someone. So it's very interesting to see where they'll take this. And, you know, Kota Ibushi got the win. And I think that, you know, there's big things on the horizon for him in 2018. Next up, we get the Killer Elite Squad versus Evil and Sonata for the IWGP Tag Team titles. The Killer Elite Squad attacks before the bell. What else is new? Hitting the Killer Bomb on Evil for a near fall as Sonata makes the save. Sonata fires up, but eats a Killer Bomb. Sonata kicks out, and Killer Elite Squad looks to hit a second Killer Bomb, but Evil makes the save. Evil runs Killer Elite Squad together and hits Everything is Evil. Evil and Sonata then hit the Magic Killer on Davey Boy Smith, but only get a two count. Sonata then hits up top and hits the moonsault, and we get the pin, and we have new tag team champions.
L.I.J. for the win. And I also predicted this as well. Mm-hmm. Lance said previously of KS, he said that everybody dies when they go in the ring for those titles. He was not joking. I mean, KES beat up Young Lions. They were all over the place. Put the beat down on Sonata and Evil. They were dominant for most of the match. And Sonata was really the one taking the brunt of the beating. I think it's because, you know, Sonata is more a believable face in trouble than Evil is. So, of course, people are going to root and root and root for Sonata to get up. Not to say that Sonata and Evil had good moments of offense, which they did. The overhead rope suplex, which was fantastic. The Everything is Evil from Evil, that was great. And Davey Boy Smith Jr. with the underhook slam, love seeing that. Love seeing that. It was a good match. And KS did a great job putting over Evil and Sonata. I like them with the titles.
Yeah, I think a lot of people saw Evil and Sonata for the first time and really got a kick out of them, really gained a lot of respect for them. Their comeback was really good, and that finishing sequence was pretty nice. Of course, Sonata paying homage to the great Muta, or Kenji Muta, with the moonsault, as that was his, you know, trainer and his senpai, as they called him in Japan. Mm-hmm. So we have Minoru Suzuki versus Goto in a hair versus hair never open weight title match. Suzuki goes for the Gotch pile driver, but Goto powers out to hit the Ushiguroshi. Taka and Desperado arrive at ringside, but the Young Lions fight them off. My man Taichi sneaks in, but Yoshihashi and his wig attacks him. Suzuki attacks Goto, hitting a dropkick. Suzuki follows with strikes, then the sleeper follows. Goto starts to fade, and Suzuki looks for the Gotch pile driver, but Goto escapes and hits a lariat. Goto sets Suzuki up top and follows with strikes, but Suzuki lays in headbutts and locks in a guillotine on the ropes. Goto powers up and hits an Ishiguroshi off the ropes and covers for two. Suzuki fights off the GTR, and Goto lays in strikes, but Suzuki answers back. Suzuki absorbs more strikes, but Goto keeps throwing, and he finally hits the GTR. He picks up Suzuki and hits another GTR and gets the pin, and Goto is your new never open weight champion. After the match, of course, Suzuki has to shave his head. It looks like he's just going to walk out on the stipulation as Suzuki Gun tries to escort him to the back, but he stops, turns around, heads back to the ring, grabs his own chair, sits down, takes the clippers away from Goto, and shaves a chunk out of his own head.
Of course, Goto would never, ever, ever, I mean, Suzuki would never let Goto have the satisfaction of shaving his head. Never. I can never see that happening. This match, prior to that, we have the demon Suzuki versus the samurai Goto. Early in the match, Suzuki, like, choked the heck out of Goto. Like, straight up, he fell to his knees, eyes were on the back of his head. The doctor comes out, and then Suzuki's like, nope, just pulls everybody away, ref, doctor, and just continues to beat the hell out of him, taunting him, kicking him in the head, what have you. And like, Suzuki was just, he just wanted to just put the beat down and embarrass him. That's what his motivation was when I'm looking at this match. On the other side, you have Goto, who is taking these beatings, but this is Goto at his best. When he's against the ropes, he's against a strong opponent, and he has the heart and the fight. And he would just keep striking and striking at times, even if Suzuki would just respond with, like, the craziest things. And I just remember Goto would just hit and hit and hit. And there are times Suzuki would just straight up laugh in his face. Like, come on, give me more. And Goto continued and continued despite that, did not get disheartened. And I just remember, like, this was a war between these two, you know. And there was that one moment where Goto did the headbutt. Suzuki had nothing to say, no laughs, no egging on. He just fell to his knees. At that moment, I knew that this was going to go to Goto in that way. Fantastic match between the both of them. Highly, highly recommend this war. And congratulations to Goto.
Goto took unprotected palm strikes to the face from Minoru Suzuki. And I'm not talking one or two or three. I'm talking like 15. There's no way. No way. No way.
He overcame. He overcame. That's what matters. He slayed the demon.
Yes, this was a fight. This was pretty good. It was different than anything else on the card. You know, there wasn't a lot of fancy, you know, dives and planches and things like that. There was just, you know, violence.
Well, that's what you can expect with the Never Open Weight Championship. I think this division is, you know, your brute force, violent matches.
Right, right. They definitely delivered on that. Mm-hmm. Now, the match that me and you both were looking forward to, the villain, Marty Scurll versus Kushida versus Will Ospreay versus...
The Ticking Time Bomb!
Takahashi for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Takahashi hits an apron Death Valley Driver on Marty, but eats a sunset bomb from Kushida. Ospreay hits the run-up shooting star to the floor. Then Ospreay hops back in, hits the inverted 450 on Takahashi, but Takahashi kicks out. Takahashi then counters the Oz Cutter, hits a lariat, and the time bomb, but only gets a two count because Marty pulls out the ref. Marty then follows up with umbrella shots, but Ospreay hits a Spanish fly and the Oz Cutter on Marty Scurll. And Will Ospreay gets the pin to become the new junior heavyweight champion. Now, Moto, this is the part of the show where I almost dislocate my shoulder from patting my own self on the back, because this played out exactly like I told you it should and the reason why it should. So I'll let you now have the floor.
And this is the part of the show where I tell everybody I have never rolled my eyes so far in the back of my head. Oh my gosh. Congratulations, Don. Yay. You did it. You got it. I'll give it to you. In terms of this match, people, watch this match. This has so much stuff in it. I don't even know where to begin because there were so many moments of just craziness and fantastic wrestling. And you have four of the best in the world in their division, in their size of what they do, doing the damn thing. This is one of them. They said they wanted to steal the show. I mean, if the card wasn't so great, they might have, but this was just amazing, amazing match. I mean, you have Marty's wings for his entrance. I love that entrance. His super kick to Hiromu off the apron. Kushida's fantastic dive to everybody outside to the corner. Ospreay climbing a damn tower, hitting a moonsault off of it to hit everybody else, and then just winking at the camera. Come on. Marty catching people in the air with his chicken wing. The moment where him and Kushida had simultaneous holds. Hiromu sunset power bombs. Not one, two, to Kushida, and I believe it was Ospreay. I mean, Takahashi getting tied to a barricade and getting out of it to do all these things. I'm just like, this is crazy. This was all crazy. Takahashi came in with this manic style of wrestling, Marty with this villainry and just stomping people. And he was the one who tied Takahashi to the barricade to snap his fingers. Then Marty getting his, I can't. This is so much. So good. Please watch. 5 stars for me, buddy. 5 stars for me. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, this was a very fun match. And like you said, if the card wasn't so stacked, they probably would have got away with the match of the night. But yeah, just a lot of great spots. And, you know, good for Will Ospreay. You're capturing his title and finally, you know, getting that win over Marty Scurll to you know, win some gold and turning the tables a little bit on Marty. So we have the ace, Tanahashi versus Jay White for the Intercontinental title. Jay White hits the Dragon Suplex, but Tanahashi rebounds with a pair of sling blades for a two count. Tanahashi follows with the high cross. Tanahashi then heads back up top and misses the high fly flow. Jay White then rolls into a crucifix and lays in the elbow strikes. Jay White then hits a Kiwi Crusher for a near fall. Tanahashi hits a Snapdragon Suplex and then a bridge, but only gets a two. Tanahashi heads up top, but Jay White gets up and starts to climb up top with him. Tanahashi knocks Jay White off the ropes, and then he hits the high fly flow to the back of Jay White. He then hits the high fly flow proper, and Tanahashi gets the win and retains the Intercontinental title.
If there was a weak point in this night, I would have to say this match was it. I'm not saying either one of them performed badly. I think there was a lot of things going against these guys in terms of this match. On paper, it looked good, but execution, not so much. I think the crowd was tired. I think we were tired at this point. There was no breaks. There was absolutely no breaks. So we were tired. The crowd was tired. And I think that the results I think White should have won this one, just because what does Tanahashi have to lose if he loses his title at this point? He's already hurt, you know? The thing is, no one bought into White winning. It would have been a great shocking win, but nobody bought into the first place that White would win. Even Don and I, we were like, nah, man, Tanahashi's going to retain. And that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly what everyone expected. And so it was okay. A solid match, but kind of forgettable in my opinion.
Right. It's still a good showing, I think, for Jay White, though, in his first really big time match of any significance. He did show pretty well. So
he did. He did. I think it just did not do him a lot of favors other than being in a match with Tanahashi.
And they were in kind of a bad spot, too, because they just had to follow that awesome juniors match. And then they were right before this next match, which was the Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho. No disqualification, no count out, IWGP U.S. title match.
Yeah, that is quite the tough spot. This obviously is not going to be the end for Jay White. I think he just needs a little bit more time to, you know, get it together with the character. And, you know, that stuff takes time.
Right. So according to everybody that was in the United States, the match that everybody came to see, the Alpha versus the Omega for the U.S. title. Jericho shoves the ref down and the coat breakers counter. Kenny hits two V triggers and the one winged angel, but Jericho barely makes the ropes. So both men are down. Omega gets to his feet and heads up top. Jericho manages to crotch him. So he follows Omega up top, but Omega slides out and slams Jericho into the turnbuckles. Omega hits the Finley roll, but misses the moonsault, and Jericho hits the code breaker. But Omega kicks out. Jericho lays a chair on Omega, but Omega cuts off the lion salt and hits the one-winged angel on a chair, and Kenny Omega retains and gets the victory.
Whew. I have to say before anything, this was not a match. This was just a straight brawl between these two. A lot of people have said this is arguably one of Chris Jericho's best matches in a very long time. I have to agree. I will talk about Kenny. I mean, there's nothing more I can say about Kenny. He's just excellent. But the story here for me was Chris Jericho. I mean, he really looked like he was enjoying himself. There was a time when after Kenny hit him with the baseball slide and made Jericho go over the barricade, Kenny followed up with the dive. He missed and then broke the English commentary table. Jericho did the lion tamer on Kenny. Then ref is like, you know, get off of him. He pushes Red Shoes, then smacks the hell out of Red Shoes' son, who was a young lion, Umino. Then does the lion tamer on the young lion and starts yelling to Red Shoes, look at your son! Look at your son! He like loved it. I just loved that moment. Jericho looked very good in the ring. A lot of people had some concerns about that. I will not name any names, Don DeLaRente. But he looked very good in the match, especially with the lion salt. Very smooth on that. The timing was good for Jericho. And then I remember just Jericho throwing multiple chairs in the ring, and he used every single one to his advantage. From hitting Kenny over the head to setting up one in the corner and just slamming Kenny into it repeatedly, busting him open. Like, Jericho was on fire. Kenny, of course, would respond with his snapdragon suplexes, and his powerful V-triggers. And, of course, the one-winged angel on the chair to seal the deal. Loved this match. Good for Chris Jericho. Great showing from him. And, of course, from Kenny.
I didn't have any doubts about Chris Jericho. I knew that he decided that he was going to be great.
You are backtracking, sir. I'm calling you out. You are backtracking. A couple of episodes ago, you were like, I don't know if Chris Jericho can hang. And I was like, nah, he can't.
I'm going to have to go back in the archives and find out exactly what I said and clear this up on the social medias. But yes, Chris Jericho, there is no doubt that he delivered past what anybody thought he could and would. Definitely, this, like you said, was just a brawl, a street fight. It was supposed to be, you know, a street fight, a brawl based on the way that the build was with the two attacks, you know, one by Jericho and then the one in retaliation by Kenny. So there wasn't a lot of scientific wrestling in this match. It was a lot of, you know, like Moto said, you know, they took out the American announce table. Kenny just jumped on Chris Jericho from the lighting truss. He put a table on top of him and jumped off on top of the table from the lighting truss. The whole bunch of just crazy things that they did. Too many to count and talk about without, reliving the whole match. But it's like 35 minutes of just pure action, no rest holes, and those guys just go for it. And, blood and guts and crashes and burns and like you said, Moto, the best match Jericho has had since he wrestled Shawn Michaels back, I think that was, 2009 or 2007, I think.
Agreed. Agreed, yes.
So,
fantastic.
Yeah, great showing, and definitely the people who, tuned in to see Chris Jericho definitely saw Chris Jericho they haven't seen in a long, long time. So then we get our main event of the evening, as we have the champion, Okada, versus the challenger, the G1 Climax winner, Naito, for the IWGP heavyweight title. Okada looks for a neckbreaker, but Naito hits a destroyer for a two count. Okada then counters a destino with the Rainmaker, holds onto the wrist, and drags Naito to his feet again. But Naito counters with the destino, but Okada kicks out at the very last moment. Naito fires up, picks up Okada, but he eats uppercuts. Naito then cuts off Okada by hitting him with the enziguri, but Okada finally hits the million-dollar dropkick. The tombstone piledriver connects, but the Rainmaker is then countered into the destino. Okada counters another destino into a jumping tombstone, followed by another Rainmaker to pin Naito, and Okada once again retains the IWGP heavyweight title.
Where do I begin? I'm going to begin on a light note. Okada's pants, we got beef. I got beef over these 1975 Studio 54 jaunts he's got on that he goes to the ring. He wore these, I'm not even, it's tassels and disco, and I don't know what he was thinking. I guess it was for a change. Please stop wrestling in those. Until you do, I will not cheer for you, Okada. Now that I got that out of the way with those crazy pants, the match itself was really, really good. There was a lot of back and forth. Crowd was very pro Naito. And Naito was different. I call this match the Tale of Two Naitos because he looked different. Naito of usual would not care. And I know this is the championship match, but he looked like he cared too much about the past, and that affected his wrestling. He seemed more frantic. He did work on Okada's neck a lot. You have the neck breaker on the apron. You have slamming Okada's back on the barricade. That's affecting his neck as well. A lot of slams. It just seemed like his feelings are still hurt about the fans voting him off the main event all those years ago. And he was obsessed with getting that Stardust press, and it really affected his wrestling as well. That's the story I'm seeing here. And because of this, he wrestled like everybody else who fought Okada last year and lost. He went for it, and then when you count Okada out, for some reason, he's got this superpower. You just, bam, he gets you. And 1, 2, 3. It was very shocking results. Everyone thought this was Naito's time, and a lot of people were upset. I was a little bit upset, but I kind of reserved because there's always a reason for these things. Fantastic match, though, back and forth. Okada, of course, with his lariats and ringmakers and all that. It was good, but for me, this was all about Naito versus just Okada retaining again.
Yeah, I was a little sad to see Naito come up short. I thought that when he survived that tombstone and countered that Rainmaker to the destino, and he was going for the second one, I was like, oh, this is the moment. I was getting ready to, prepare myself for a Naito championship reign, and it was snatched out from underneath us. So, very interesting booking, like you said, but this was definitely the main event of the evening. It deserved to close the show, and those guys definitely put on a performance worthy of the main event. So, fantastic event as a whole. Wrestle Kingdom 12 delivered, biggest crowd in 15 years. They got like a 30% increase in subscriptions to New Japan World. Moto was up at 2 a.m. live tweeting with a host of people underneath the Cast of Strong Style hashtag. So it was definitely a win all around for New Japan.
Absolutely. And thank you all. I'd like to take the time right now to shout some of my live tweeters, because Moto always remembers. Koopa Kinte, I love that name. CGM Jones, Anwar Starwin, Don Victor, we still got beef. Devin Meyer, BDN Heights, and Maurice. And everybody else, thank you for live tweeting with me. It was crazy. Y'all are funny. And hope to see you on the next big event. I'll be live tweeting that as well.
All right. Just a reminder, you are listening to Cast of Strong Style. I'm your host, Don De Laurenti. I'm joined by my co-host, the Omega, Miss JPK Moto. Cast of Strong Style this week is being brought to you by Amazon.com. Go over to cspn.us, click on support the podcast, and click on amazon.com. Do some shopping because Valentine's Day is rapidly approaching and you may need a gift for your significant other. So please do that shopping through cspn.us and amazon.com. Again, visit our website, cspn.us, click on amazon.com, do your shopping as normal. Some of your purchase will come back to help keep Cast of Strong Style and all the podcasts here on CSPN free of charge. Thank you for your support. Okay, Moto, so we're going to move into New Year's Dash, which happens the day after Wrestle Kingdom. So this is the equivalent to the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, where it's just, you know, kind of set up for some maybe future big time matches down the road, a lot of crazy, you know, matchups and teams, because there's a bunch of tag matches throughout this thing as everybody just worked so hard the night before. There's not a lot of singles matches. So, you know, New Year's Dash has a very big reputation, as, you know, the last couple of years, some major occurrences have happened, as last year, Killer Elite Squad and Suzuki Gun arrived back on the scene after being in NOAH for the greater part of almost like 2 years. And the year before that was when AJ Styles got kicked out of the Bullet Club and Kenny Omega became the official leader of the Bullet Club. So it's all the buzz. What does this year's New Year's Dash have in store? So we start off with a fun match, as we have the New Japan Dads versus the Young Lions, as the New Japan Dads are Yuji Nagata, Nakanishi, Tenzan, and Kojima versus the Young Lions of Oka, Narita, Shota Uminu. Thank you. Shota is what I'll be calling him from now on. And Yagi, who I really like, but don't get to see a lot of him. The Young Lions clear the ring and work over Kojima in the corner. Kojima fights out of a Boston Crab, but eats a dropkick. Shota hits a German 4-2 count, and the Dads make the save. It breaks down. Shota eats the cozy lariat, and Shota takes the pin. So the New Japan Dads get the win. Fun little match. Always good to see the New Japan Dads, especially Nakanishi. That's my dude.
I like the match too. Very fun. And I like seeing the Young Lions. They have so much energy and they just want to impress everyone and make a good thing. And it's just, they're always a good crowd warm up, because you know they're trying their best to succeed in the company. So I love these openers.
Next up, we have my guy again, Taichi, Kanemaru, Azuka, Taka, and Desperado versus Jushin Thunder Liger,
Taiga!
Mask, my favorite young boy, Kawato, Hanare, and Makabe. We get the hot tag to Kawato. He runs wild on Desperado and picks up near falls. Liger and Tiger Mask are in and hit power bombs on Desperado. Kawato hits a Trouble in Paradise for a 2 count. It breaks down again, and Kawato hits a missile dropkick, but gets cut off, and Kanemaru hits Deep Impact. Kawato gets hit with a super kick by Taichi, and Desperado finishes things off with the Pinchy Loco. And Suzuki Gun beats down Kawato post-match, and he has to be carried to the back.
It's hurting. I know. But the good thing is, I know you're excited because Hanare is back. He was a Young Lion, and he actually returned, I believe, at the New Japan Rumble at Wrestle Kingdom. So here he is again in this match. I like seeing him. I like his look. Really respects his heritage. All right, match so far. I'm curious to see what happens to him. I'm really looking at him for this more so than anyone else. I mean, I love me some Tiger Mask and Legend Liger, but for me, it was, my eyes was on Hanare. Solid match.
I hope Kawato is okay. I hope he doesn't have to miss too much time. Or if he does miss time, he's going to be off doing his excursion. You know why he's my favorite, right?
Why is he your favorite?
Because he ain't scared of shit. You see all those Suzuki gun dudes in there. Who's the first one out of the locker room? Kawato. Who's the first one in the ring? Kawato. They can't even announce the rest of his teammates because he runs straight in the middle of everybody and starts throwing hands. I like that dude.
Well, I like his fearlessness. I do. He's either the guy that surprises you when he beats up like everybody because he's so small, or the guy who gets his ass whooped. But overall, Kawato is just nice to see. That fearlessness is just makes you want to root for him, even if the odds are against him. So he is going on excursion soon. So I want to see what happens when he comes back and how he comes back, because the returns are always fun.
And most important, the crowd was starting to get behind him too.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Growing.
Yes. Yes. Next up, we have Switchblade Jay White versus
the King of Beef,
Kitamura. Kitamura is currently, this is the first match of his 7-match trial series. So as the Young Lion Cup winner, Kitamura is basically in a series of matches where he will face 7 established stars. And then after these 7 matches, he will be off to his excursion. So for the greater part of 2018, there will be no more
King of Beef
to talk about in New Japan for a little while. So
I'll miss you, King of Beef.
Make the most of these 7 matches.
Okay. All right. So.
So Kitamura lays in these big time chops and he hits a big spear. Jay White counters the jackhammer and locks in a crossface. Jay White then transitions to the crucifix and lays in the elbow strikes. Jay White then hits the blade runner and he gets the win over Kitamura.
It was a fine match. It was a good solid match. I liked, you know, I always like his swagger when it comes to the ring, roaring and what have you. I didn't think that he was going to win this. I mean, against Jay White of all people. I did like his offense as well. It's good. It's good to see him. I mean, I'm going to miss him. Solid match, and he will be here in North America for his excursion. So I'm happy.
What's cool about this process is now that he's at this point, he's starting to be able to do a few more new moves, like his own kind of moves, mm-hmm. instead of just be restricted to the Young Lion moveset. So it's good to see him kind of, you know, expand out and kind of see what he's, you know, what his own moves and what his own thoughts are. So yeah, good things for Kitamura. He looks even more jacked. How do you feel about the haircut?
I didn't like it at first. I ain't gonna stunt. I was like, ugh. But I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to it. He's growing into it.
All right. Our next match has the Elite, Nick and Matt Jackson, along with Kenny Omega, versus Sho and Yo with Cheeseburger. The Elite look to take control. Yo fires up and fights them off and tags in Cheeseburger. Miscommunication by the Young Bucks allows Cheeseburger to hit Sho Tease on all 3 of the Elite. But they catch Cheeseburger after high cross attempt, and the Indy Taker finishes off Cheeseburger, and the Elite get the win.
Woot woot. I mean, I expected them to win. It's always good to see Cheeseburger. He is like so over. I'm kind of surprised he's not full time here in New Japan yet, because he's so welcome and loved here. It was a good match. I liked when all 3 of them, Kenny and the Young Bucks, were waiting, and then Cheeseburger jumped off the top rope. And instead of like hitting them all with the move, they just all caught him because he's so skinny. And it was just a fun, lighthearted affair with all of them, and good stuff.
Right. That's Kenny Omega's reward for, you know, the hard work he put in the night before. He got to do a lighthearted match with Cheeseburger.
Well, I mean, they all did. I mean, everyone's beat up this right. Like the day after, so.
Right. So we have Ibushi, Juice Robinson, David Finlay, Kushida, and Taguchi versus Cody, Yujiro, Marty Scurll, Leo Tonga, and Chase Owens. David Finlay makes the comeback on Cody, but Brandy distracts Finlay, allowing Cody to lock on the American Nightmare, and Finlay taps. Cody attacks Kota Ibushi after the match. Cody looks to attack Ibushi with the chair when Kenny Omega comes out and makes the save. Kenny wants no part of this and argues with Cody. They push and shove, but the Bullet Club keeps the peace and they separate. Omega says that the Bullet Club hasn't been whole for a long time and they need to stop the fighting. It needs to be one. He knows what they need and calls out Jay White. Jay White arrives and Omega puts him over big time and offers him a spot in the Bullet Club. White takes the shirt. Jay White puts it on. They hug. But then Jay White hits Omega with the Blade Runner and lays him out and scurries out through the crowd before the rest of the Bullet Club can come down and extract revenge.
Ooh, there's so much to unwrap here. I mean, the match itself was good. It was a solid match, but this all led to what happened after. There is so much. You have Cody again still beefing with Coda. I thought that'd be kind of over, but not really. And remember that Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi were tag team partners, and both have gone their separate ways. I mean, Kenny's the leader of the number one heel faction in the world. I mean, and Kota has just been going on, plucky, just doing his thing, just wrestling. And there's a lot of turmoil because of this now. And these two former tag team partners are now on the road to butt heads later on. You have Cody, who has challenged Kenny's authority before and is going to challenge it again, especially after doing something that does not benefit the Bullet Club. And, you know, Cody is probably not feeling the support from Kenny after this. You have Jay White, who is taking a different path now as kind of like the lone wolf. He's not joining a faction for now. I like this direction with him. You have them probably beefing over the title. Kenny is going to be a busy man in 2018. And I think that Kenny is going to be suffering a lot this year as well because of what he did that night.
Well, I'll start backwards. Jay White basically became the New Japan version of DDP, as that just reminded me of the night where Scott Hall and Kevin Nash offered DDP the NWO shirt, and he put it on, and they had the little, you know, he basically faked them out and ended up giving them the diamond cutter and going out through the crowd. So that was very reminiscent of that. This Bullet Club thing between Cody and Kenny has kind of been boiling here and there, and now they put Kota Ibushi in the middle of it, so I'm really intrigued to see kind of where that goes, if we're going to get the Ibushi Omega, you know, pairing back up in New Japan for a tag match, or they're going to go straight to the singles match that everybody's been kind of, you know, hinting at for the past year and a half between Omega and Kota Ibushi. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And this was a very good setup to lead us down the path towards, you know, all the scenarios. That's like three different angles they shot at one time. So I was pretty strong.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like I said, Kenny's got a busy year ahead of him, and something tells me he's going to lose that title very soon.
All right, so we have a rematch, basically, as we have Trent Beretta, Yano, and Ishii versus Fale, Tonga, and Loa for the never six-man tag team titles. Ishii germans Fale while Tonga and Trent fight back and forth. Loa tags in, and they hit guerrilla warfare on Trent. Loa and Tonga head up top, and Loa misses a hit, but Trent hits the superplex on Tonga. Trent counters the gun stun and looks for a dude buster, but Tonga hits the gun stun, and we have new champions again as Fale, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa regain the never six-man open tag team championships.
Well, talk about the result later. I actually like this match a lot. Love that German suplex when Ishii lifted Fale for the German suplex. Fantastic stuff. With that, I love seeing those two go at it with the strength. Bullet Club, you know, beat on Yano for a bit, and then, you know, the tags came in, Beretta came in and did his thing too. So I like that match. The result, I mean, they really had it for a day. Like, I know there are short reigns associated with this title, but a day, I'm like, why for the Wrestle Kingdom moment, and that's it for the Shaq. I don't know. I'm just not about it. I'd rather have a longer reign for them.
Well, the nickname for that title is Flip Flop because it goes back and forth so much.
A day, though.
Kane was the heavyweight champion for like a day.
That's another promotion. We talking about New Japan a day
I'm just saying it's not unprecedented. It has been done before.
I get that, but a day.
Moving on. The Ace, the Tanahashi with the War Machine and Michael Elgin versus Minoru Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr., along with Killer Elite Squad. Michael Elgin hits the Falcon Arrow, but Lance Archer cuts him off. Rogue gets in and runs wild, but Sabre catches him in a triangle. But Hansen makes his save. Suzuki is torturing Tanahashi's knee on the outside. Killer Elite Squad and War Machine battle. Killer Elite Squad hits the Killer Bomb on Hansen, and they secure the victory for Suzuki Gun. After the match, Suzuki continues to try to rip off Tanahashi's leg. Then Suzuki gets the mic, laughs maniacally, and grabs the IC title while Tanahashi has to be helped to the back.
This match was actually pretty good as well, I would say. It wasn't bad. I liked KES against War Machine. I wish that War Machine weren't leaving, as it were. They're going to NXT because I really want like a good series of matches between them again. We had a couple last year, but I wanted some more because you have just KES, you having the all-around good power moves, and then you have the strength of War Machine as well. Michael Elgin had a good time with Zack Sabre Jr. with his strength. Then you have Dr. Twist doing his moves. And you didn't speak on what happened after, did you, Don?
Oh, yes. About Tanahashi getting tortured by Minoru Suzuki. He was like, yeah, trying to rip his leg off. Yeah, I mentioned it inside the breakdown.
But you didn't say. You didn't say. Okay. Well, Suzuki backstage, that's what I meant to ask. Suzuki basically is going to go for that title. And I'm going to ask you, Don, do you think that Suzuki will win it off of Tanahashi?
Certainly. Tanahashi's beat up. He's got a bad arm. He's got a bad knee. If there's anybody who can, you know, make you scream when you have ailments, it's definitely Minoru Suzuki. It's not a good look for him to be going up against this man when you're this beat up and battered.
So you would say more 90% sure that he would win it?
I'm like 85%.
Okay. I'm actually with you on that. You can buy into him, you know, winning that, and you know, it's gonna be a hell of a match for sure. But I do think that Suzuki would win it off of Tanahashi, give him that break that he needs.
And our final match of New Year's Dash is we have the Chaos consisting of Will Ospreay, Goto, Yoshihashi,
and his wig,
Okada and Gato versus Los Engobernables de Japón, consisting of Naito, Evil, Sanada, Bushi, and
the ticking time bomb,
Takahashi. Yoshihashi and his wig and Naito tag in. Yoshihashi hits the huge lariat and the sit-out powerbomb gets two count. Yoshihashi fires up and it starts to break down big time. LIJ takes control and they isolate Yoshihashi and pick up a near fall. Naito hits the Destino and pins Yoshihashi. After the match, LIJ does a post-match beatdown on Chaos. Okada gets the worst of it with Sanada choking him out with the skull in. LIJ then rolls the broken bodies of Chaos to the floor and Okada is helped to the back. Naito cuts the post-match promo, admitting that he lost at Wrestle Kingdom and he has no excuses. And in 2018, LIJ will continue to evolve. And in 2018, everyone can enjoy the places LIJ will take you to your heart's content. And then at that moment, Chris Jericho arrives and he attacks Naito. LIJ and the Young Lions try to separate them, but they just keep brawling. And then, you know, a whole contingent of people finally get Chris Jericho out of the ring. And, you know, Naito like sits the chair down and like puts his back to him and like, you know, does his antics and throws up a middle finger. And so now we've got another angle shot here with Chris Jericho and Naito. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
In Ghetto, we trust. Okay. Okay. This is a fantastic decision on Ghetto's part. You have Chris Jericho beefing with Naito, getting those international eyes on Naito. And while it's sad that he didn't get the title, this will still increase his popularity to the point where some people are now saying he doesn't even need that belt, which is like a stroke of genius because 24 hours before, people were like, no one's going to like Naito anymore. People are going to give up on him. And this has just renewed interest in Naito with this Chris Jericho feud. This started before Wrestle Kingdom 12 with the whole double main event thing, which I never really got to begin with. And Naito didn't like that. Jericho was like, we're the true main event with the Omega match. And so you had rumblings of this before, but nobody was paying attention to that because, you know, you have such a stacked card. And Sanada is the one who is going to be facing Okada. Interesting. And I think that would be a great match as well. So the year is set up with this. We've got a lot to comb through as things develop here.
Yes, the New Beginnings is going to be a lot of fun when they come back from the CMLL Fantastico Mania little deal that they do at the beginning of the year. They go down to Japan for a couple, to Mexico for a couple of weeks, and then the Mexican guys will come back to Japan for a few weeks, and they kind of do it like a trade off. But then after that, at near the end of the month, New Beginnings starts, and that's basically kind of like the first official run of new storylines and feuds and matches. So yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun leading up into this. You know, like you said, we have Tanahashi and Suzuki, you know, basically this challenge issued. We have, you know, based off the booking, Okada and Sanada at some point, they're going to have a title match coming up. We're going to have Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay probably having a title match coming up, one-on-one match. So it's some new challengers probably for the tag team championships, since we've got new champions there. So yeah, it's going to be a fun year in New Japan. I'm glad a lot of people got a chance to start it off, and hopefully they can, you know, keep up with it through, you know, New Japan World and Access, even though that's a few weeks behind, you know, if you don't feel like paying, but you still want to try to keep up with it. You know, that's another alternative that you do have available to you here in the United States. And, you know, this is all leading up to the big event in March. So, you know, we've got 3 months of good, you know, a good build, and then they're coming to the United States. So, you know, these 3 months should be full of a lot of good stuff.
For sure. I'm excited, and I can't wait. I can't wait for New Beginnings. It's going to be a stacked card once again.
All right, Moto. So at this point, any more shout outs and thank yous you'd like to give out to the people?
I'd like to thank myself, the genius, for being so rad. Thank you. Thank you, me. That's it.
The outburst of laughter when you said, I'd like to thank myself. I wasn't prepared. You caught me off guard. Moto gave a shout out to a lot of the people who joined her in the live tweet earlier, but I just like to say again, thank you to all the people who were up early. Thank you to all the people who at some point during the weekend of January 4th, 5th, 6th did use the hashtag Cast a Strong Style while they were watching the matches or watching the event later on. If you do go underneath the What We Are Watching hashtag, I have put up links to all the matches separately, so you can watch whatever match you want. Just pick it out, and you can watch it through the What We Are Watching hashtag, so you don't have to sit through the whole, you know, event to watch Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. You can go right to it and check that out. But, yeah, if you definitely, you know, haven't seen it, check it out. Watch it again if you have seen it. Watch it a third time if you've already watched it twice. It's a, you know, really good match, and you'll definitely catch something that you didn't see the first time. I thought Wrestle Kingdom was a great event all in all. I thought New Year's Dash was fun. Again, the big angles with, you know, Chris Jericho and Naito, Kenny Omega and Cody, and, you know, then the Jay White thing. So I'm really looking forward to New Japan and this full year of Cast a Strong Style that me and Moto have ahead of us. So. Oh, I'd like to give a shout out to the Omega Moto as well for being the best New Japan co-host in the podcast.
Thank you so much. You're awesome, Don.
You're welcome, Moto. So, for my co-host, the Omega, JPK Moto, I'm Don DeLorenzo, and this has been episode 15 of Cast of Strong Style.
Strong style.